One of our members who couldn't be here today wanted to make sure that the service was going to be taped, recorded, and he wanted to have a copy of that recording. And I, of course, said, well, I'll try and do my best for the sermon for you so that you hear it. And he says, no, it's not for that. I want to hear the music. So knowing where I stand in the pecking order of things, we draw today to a conclusion a series of sermons that we've been doing through the season of Lent. We've been trying to comprehend and understand more fully the Apostles' Creed, those basic statements of what it is that we hold to be true as Christians, basic statements of belief, basic statements of faith. Nothing fancy about them, nothing, you know, that is difficult to comprehend, but just those core values, those core beliefs that unite us together as Christians within this church, within all of the churches before us and the churches that come after us. And today we draw to conclusion by looking at that simple statement, I believe in the resurrection, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And so to do that, to understand that, we need to look at a story that has been told over and over and over again. A central core of our Christian calendar is Easter Sunday. It is that pivotal moment in the year of the church. And so it is, this story gets told again and again, year in and year out. The never-changing story, the story that changes us. And so I find it in the Gospel according to John in the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, though they did not still understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. May the Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. When we speak of creed, when we talk about the Apostles' Creed, it is that basis upon which we believe. It is a statement that begins with the phrase, "I believe." It is a statement of what we hold to be true, and it is a statement that we together as the church make. It is a statement that by being the church, we are proclaiming these things to be true. We are proclaiming that these things are essential for us together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. It is a statement of what the church truly believes. But if we're honest, sometimes it's hard for us individually to believe. Sometimes as we go through the Apostles' Creed, there might be those sections where we maybe stammer a little bit. Or maybe we hold our tongues silent for a phrase or two. Or just in our lives, in our personal lives, asking those questions that are hard to answer, and our hearts don't fully believe. But the church does. There is that sense that the value of all of us together is that we can pick each other up. We can strengthen each other because faith is difficult. I mean, you take a look at this resurrection story. You have Peter and John, Mary Magdalene, and there were others as well, as we know. But they still didn't understand fully. It says of John that he believed, but then there's that little parenthesis after it that says he didn't quite get it yet. That's okay. It's okay to not always fully believe, but it's okay and better yet for us to rely upon and trust each other to hold us up, to carry us through those more difficult times where belief is a little bit harder for us. Why is it that we find ourselves in the most difficult moments of our lives needing to have other people around us? If not for the purpose of bolstering us up, of carrying us through those difficult and challenging times. And why is it that we come together on Easter Sunday, unlike any other Sunday out of the year? We always make that extra effort to be in worship on Easter Sunday because we need this time together to bolster and strengthen our faith. It is a day when no matter what else we might have on our calendars, no matter where else we might want to be, no matter how appealing the golf course is or the river is or wherever it might be, we still manage to get ourselves here. To be reminded to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I was talking with a buddy of mine the other day, and I was telling him how nervous I get over preaching the Easter sermon. And he had some sage words of advice for me. He said, "Steve, if they don't get it by now, why are you bothering to tell them again?" Because that's what we need. That's exactly what we need. We need to hear it over and over and over and over again so that we can struggle with it. Because it is, in fact, the most difficult question ever to answer. Is it true? Is it true? How could it be? How could it be that the God of creation, the very God who put into place all of the rules of nature, things like gravity, things like when your heart stops, you're gone. All of the rules that the God of creation put into place, could that God then be the one who would break His own rules to raise Jesus from the dead. Is it true? Can it be? That is the question that we gather on this Easter morning to struggle with in our own hearts and our lives. Because it is hard for us to truly believe in God doing what by the laws of nature is impossible. People who are dead stay dead, especially after 3 days. But we need to see the comedy of it. Tim Conway, any of you know Tim Conway? Oh, I love Tim Conway. I think he's one of the funniest guys ever to live. He does this wonderful piece called Dorf, where he is standing on his knees, and he has shoes on his knees and the pants and everything. It looks like he's standing upright, but he's actually on his knees. And he plays like he did one where he was a golfer, and he showed about how he did his golf swing, and he tips way over this way and way over that way, way back this way, all sorts of moves that are physically impossible. But you end up laughing at it because you know it's impossible. God wants us to look at what He has done. He has done the impossible, so that you and I can laugh at death itself. The question, is it true? It's a question that we answer every Easter morning. It is the question that we come to this place with such regularity every Easter to be reminded of its truth. That though He once was dead, that Jesus Christ is alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's the truth. That is what we believe. That is what gives us hope. That is what gives us laughter. Because God has pulled the greatest prank ever of raising Jesus from the dead so that you and I might be able to laugh in the face of death. Would you pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, so that we might enjoy this life filled with hope, filled with joy. He is raised from the dead so that we can face death with laughter. For death has lost its sting. Death has lost its power because you have conquered it in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us, O Lord, with that belief, so that we might know in our hearts and in our minds that it is absolutely true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.